a Friday morning, which means it's time again to delve into the realm of, I was going to say secret places, but I won't, because, I mean, that's just too cheesy, isn't it? A segue into what we're going to be discussing with Dr. Bruce Thompson, homeopath to the enlightened. We're going to be talking about not necessarily secret, but sacred places, shall we say. Because, well, this is an aspect of homeopathy that you touched on last week.
Yeah, with Mike. It was an interesting discussion last week, and he brought up something which I didn't know or think that people might be ready for. But anyway, I thought, why not? Let's go with it.
Okay, well, we'll continue on the trajectory this week. Yeah. Of course, with more of a Luddite on the other side of the microphone.
Oh, no, I can compete with you for being a Luddite. Don't worry.
Well, let's launch back in. For those that weren't listening last week, maybe a recap.
Yeah, so we started talking about homeopathic thinking, homeopathic philosophy, how it compares with what philosophy there might be around allopathic medicine, how different the thinking is, but how equally scientific both homeopathy is. We're looking at the basic concept we covered last week was that homeopathy is less understood through chemistry, better understood through physics. Okay, so something that Mike brought up last week, which I wasn't sure people were necessarily ready for, but I mean, I thought we'd just go with it again this week, which is the idea of the memory of water, and the memory of water is really the magic behind homeopathy. It's the secret that Hahnemann rediscovered really. And worked with, and formed the basis of the generation and the production of homeopathic medicines and the fundamental thinking behind homeopathy and why we use what we use, why we use the medicine that we use, why we make medicine in the way that we make it. So this idea of the memory of water, it's useful to first acknowledge the magic of water and how special water is as a substance. The water molecule is a polar molecule. It's as a result of that, it holds itself together well. It has properties of cohesion, which is why water forms droplets. It has properties of adhesion. That's why, you know, pond skaters can walk across the surface of water because of the adhesive properties of water molecules. Water has this really weird property of being less dense when it's solid, which is utterly unique in the universe. Nothing else does that. And as a result, we have floating ice. And if we didn't have floating ice, we wouldn't have life. So if water froze,
and sank,
everything would die, right, through the winter, but it doesn't. Water has phenomenal heat properties. So the specific heat of water is unmatched by any other substance, really. So that's why the water on the surface of the earth moderates the earth's temperature, right, because it can absorb vast quantities of heat, and then it can slowly release that heat, as it's required, or as its properties change, as temperatures change. So, that polar quality of water means that it is a universal solvent, so it's neither basic nor acidic, right? So it's both at one time. Unbelievable reality of water. And then we kind of move on from that to considering that we are formed of water, that no life exists without water. Every activity that goes on in the body requires water, requires all these properties of water. But this is sort of just jumping to this idea of the memory of water. I would invite everyone listening who's interested to look up a guy called Yasaru Emoto, a Japanese researcher who has been for the last 15, 20 years looking at the crystalline, the properties of crystallization of water and what sort of things affect that crystallization. So most people are aware of the idea of no two snowflakes being identical, right? Now, all water molecules, all water crystals form in a hexagonal pattern. So there's a fundamental hexagonal shape to all snowflakes or all crystals of water. But what he showed over and over and over and over again is that the most surprising things influence the way that water crystallizes. So you can drop any solid article or solid substance into a glass of water or a vial of water, a crystal, a piece of metal, a piece of paper with something written on it, and it will affect in a consistent way the way that that water crystallizes. So when looked at under a microscope, you can see the different shapes formed by those things. So he goes from physical things like a salt crystal or a any other kind of crystal, you know, amethyst or whatever it is, through to thoughts, through to things written on bits of paper, and how there's a consistency in the impact on water. So there's almost an intelligence to water. It is aware of what has been applied to it, what's been dipped in it, what's been thought at it, if you see what I'm saying. So he would take words like war, hate, love, compassion, and write them on a bit of paper and just wrap them around the vial with the water in. And he could show consistently, repeatedly, how those intentions, even the intention of the word, whether it was written in Japanese or English or Russian, didn't matter. The intention would have an influence on the way the water crystallized, the shape of the crystals. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't think anything can blow your mind.
And this is widely available for totally. for research and reflection, yeah, and yet it has had virtually no impact on the geopolitical thinking of the planet and
how we manage water.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
Yeah. So one of the things he was saying is water in modern cities is a Frankenstein product. It is an ugly thing when you see it crystallize. And he's saying it's all the things that happen. It's the chemicals that are thrown in. It's the recycling of water. So you know it's water that contains hormones and chemicals and all of this sort of thing. Even though those may be apparently removed from the water, the water remembers. And the water remembers. You know, one of the things that I hope everyone has this experience where they can go for a walk in the mountains and dive into a stream of mountain water and how that feels and how that makes you feel. And when you drink that water, how that makes you feel. And, you know, Emoto is saying it's the geometry of how water falls through the mountains, through rock. And over waterfalls.
But that then would indicate that water can be reprogrammed.
Totally. And that's what homeopathy is. Homeopathy is the reprogramming of water with specific information. So Max Planck, probably oversimplifying everything that he said everything is a wave. Everything is a resonance and a vibration. That is life. Every atom is merely a collection of vibrations and resonances. And water is a beautiful, beautiful reflection and representation of that. Water, the crystal forms of water is how we can visualize that, right? It's the only way that we can visualize it. But homeopathy, homeopathic medicine is fundamentally taking advantage of this ability of water to remember and to contain and sustain that memory over time. There's obviously we've become aware that there are things that have a negative influence on our remedies, and these things are, there's certain substances like camphor and coffee, unfortunately, can antidote, can stop, you know, and blank out, you know, zero out the memory of the water, memory of the remedy. But
so that's why when you take a homeopathic treatment or cure, coffee is considered to be non-you. You don't drink coffee when you're being treated.
Which is why these days we have to repeat remedies much more often than we did in the past, because people have, you know, generally exposure. Even if they're smelling the coffee, it can antidote. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Homeopathic treatment seems to be growing, which is encouraging.
My interest in it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the interest in it, and homeopathic remedies seem to be becoming more commercially available.
Mm.
You have contributed quite significantly to that locally with your own homeopathic remedies that people are raving about.
Mm.
Your war gel, for example, has become very well known.
Mm, it has. Yeah, the pharmacy complains they're always running out. But anyway, that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good problem.
It is.
Yeah. And there's also I've got a very simple range of remedies for particularly for kids, which are easily applied because they're in a spray. And they cover, you know, the main issues that young moms will have with their kids, you know, tummy issues and sleep issues and anxiety issues and snotty noses and tight chests and things like that. So,
clearly, there's a lot to discuss, and we're always short of time. But what I'm going to suggest is, going forward, well, we're going to continue these conversations because they're valuable on a Friday. But we're also launching a new podcast, Vodcast Studio, which we're going to be literally launching in the next couple of weeks. It's in development right now. And we're going to be producing a range of subject-specific vodcasts, the podcast with a visual element, because people also love to see things, pictures. Mm. So I'm going to suggest that we add to this a discussion on aspects of homeopathy, because it's so interesting listening to what you were just touching on and wanting to delve slightly more deeply into it. And of course, on radio, time is always against us. This will be the ideal opportunity. So if you're in agreement,
natural medicine and naturopathic approach,
and we can uncover all sorts of, well, you will be the guide, because clearly you are the expert. But I look forward to hosting
I wish I really was an expert, but well, I'm trying my best.
By me, you're a king. My very special guest, Dr. Bruce Thompson. This will be up as a podcast shortly. If you want to share the message that we've had this morning, in the few minutes that we've been able to unpack, the magic of water and the wonders, the mysteries of the universe contained therein, and how homeopathy has tapped into those mysteries and that magic, and in a sense that possibly gives you an inkling as to how homeopathic cures work. Bruce, thanks so much for popping in this morning. We'll catch up again in a week's time, and as I say, we'll be launching our Vodcast podcast series real soon. So as they say in the classics, watch this space. And this, as I said, will be up as a podcast during the course of the day for you to share and spread the love. And the morning show continues.